Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Richard Sale, who's been reporting on intelligence since the late 1970s. He was a finalist for the Pulitzer Prize and is the author of Clinton's Secret Wars. He regularly posts for the blog Sic Semper Tyrannis about national security and foreign policy, and he has a recent article called Afghanistan, A Dark and Fragile Future at truthout.org. Welcome to Background Briefing, Richard Sale.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And what's your understanding of so far what has happened to whatever this cache of secrets that that Edward Snowden was able to cherry pick from the NSA's computers, clearly and deliberately? I think he probably found some of the best stuff he could get his hands on, and he took it with him on I think four computers and a bunch of flash drive thumb drives. And the assumption from what people I talk to in the intelligence world, they say that, of course, all that stuff's gone to both the Russians and the Chinese. Do you share that belief?
Well, first of all, I would emphasize that top secret is not that high a clearance. There are 22 clearances above top secret. So Snowden is not getting the best of the best at all. The other thing, a point I think is really important to make, is that there is the connection between surveillance programs like the National Security Agency and the whole topic of cyber warfare has not in any way made clear to the American public. I mean, how many people in the American public realize that the first U.S. cyber war weapons were deployed against the city of San Diego in a botched U.S. Navy experiment? We just don't know about these matters. You know, they are kept secret from us.
Right. And then the Israelis didn't the Israelis hack into Air Force One?
Yeah, they did in the 1980s. They were very good, and they did it actually from their own cyber war. They had a bunch of relay stations, and they were able to do that, listening into conversations.
So, what's your assessment then of what Snowden has done in terms of this issue of cyber warfare? Because the first data dump came on the eve of the talk with Obama and the president of China, and clearly having a finding from Obama saying that he was targeting China. And then you know that from this South China Morning Post article interview that Snowden did, that the People's Daily played that to the hilt, and the Chinese people are you know, saying that how terrible the Americans are, and we're the victims of cyber attacks, not the perpetrators. So it's difficult not to see that that in terms of the issue of cyber warfare, what he's revealed so far has actually helped the Chinese, as far as I can tell.
It's hard to tell. I mean, clearly it's no secret that Obama has been targeting China and vice versa. There is absolutely I don't even know how you'd call it, low-grade or certainly a medium-grade cyber war going on. It's been going on for a long time. The United States was very successful in planting computer viruses on the Soviet Union, and we were very successful in doing planting them on Iran, and we are now trying very hard to develop sources inside China. And what we want to do is to have sources in China who will relay to the Chinese technicians faulty or inaccurate data that they will use in making poor technological decisions. That's really what is at stake here.
So, in other words, they give them blueprints of phony secrets that don't work.
Yes.
It's a bit like the Stuxnet virus that was implanted in the centrifuges, right? That sends false signals that caused the Iranian program to be delayed. So
there was a rogue Iranian organization called the MEK that used to kill U.S. Army sergeant in Paris back in the 1970s, and they use a disease memory stick to infect the Iranian computers.
So tell me about then, just back to where is Edward Snowden, since a bunch of journalists, about 20 to 30 journalists paid $2,000.
Well, none of us knows. I find this question amusing. None of us knows.
Right.
And all we can do is stew and speculate, but we're not adding anything to knowledge.
Right. But what about the fact that he's supposedly, and the U.S. government says he's in Russian hands, and then that raises the question of is he being debriefed by the SVR? I mean, presumably they could debrief him later when he goes to Ecuador.
Debriefings are extremely complicated and very difficult to do. I read through the debriefing of Eichmann by Israel. You have the enormous amount of knowledge that you have to use to put together a debriefing. And especially the sequence in which the questions are asked to throw the subject off the track, it's extremely delicate, very arduous, and it's very, very, very difficult to succeed in.
So clearly the U.S. is weighing in on the Russians. They're
sure.
Basically saying, you know, hand this guy over. And we were talking earlier with James Bamford about the possibility that they may be interested in a swap to get – they've been asking – Putin's been asking for Victor Boot to be released at least seven times.
Yeah. Well, that's there's so many – I'm not competent really to
– Sure.
There are too many intangibles that I simply am uninformed about.
Right. Well, it's obviously a speculation because we don't know. On the other hand, Julian Assange of WikiLeaks says that Edward Snowden's in a safe place. He has high spirits and that he is, going to be sent on his way to Ecuador soon. So,
Well, I'm sure the WikiLeaks guy on board the plane is reporting back to him. So I'm sure that's what... what he's hearing, and it may be true or not.
Well, they're not on the plane. that was what was so amusing.
He's using his. Right. I'm sure the WikiLeaks guy is able to use his cell phone, so I'm sure.
Yeah, yeah. It's a woman. That's traveling with him. Sarah Harrison. So, just in terms of the what kind of a damage control is going on at the NSA, and of course, all of these people that come on television and defend the NSA are all the people that are selling us out by giving away the store to contractors, Clapper and McConnell and Hayden.
I do think that the major scandal will probably, in the end, settle on the private contractors because I think their vetting procedures are extremely poor and sometimes they're inept. I don't like the amount of salaries that these people are paid in comparison with government salaries. It's a very iffy business, and it's proved terribly unreliable in the past. And in Iraq, it stuck us with a bill that could amount to $60 billion wasted. So they are not people to be trusted.
Well, it's worse than that. Bob Baer was saying that the other day, the former CIA officer saying that in the case of Snowden's contract, he was supposedly getting up to $200,000. He was lured away from the CIA by this offer. But whatever they paid him, whether Booz Allen paid him $150,000 or $200,000, they apparently then in turn charge the American taxpayer about $1 million for that contract.
Well, so, that's the way the system works, and that's why it's so horribly corrupt, and that's why. You end up with private contractors being accused of murder and rape and other things in foreign lands that they were sent there to protect.
So what's your takeaway then in terms of whether this Edward Snowden has helped the people of the United States by revealing information about how much the government's spying on them, even though the information that was revealed is not particularly new, as James Bamford had pointed out in the previous interview, and yet there's a possibility that all of these secrets have ended up in the hands of the Russians and the Chinese that he has with him, and that he's off to Ecuador essentially being sheltered by a guy who basically is at war with the press in his own country, in Ecuador.
Well, I think Snowden's a grandstander. I think he's anti-American, I think he's a very callow young man, and I don't think he has any principles. I think he wants to get himself talked about, which is the disease of a young person. So that's what he suffers from, I believe.
Well, but he may be more naive than mendacious, though, surely.
I agree with that, yeah.
I mean, he may just not realize how deep he is in
the magnitude of his other stuff. It doesn't do anybody any good at all. But I just say that I just think that the listeners should realize that we are living in an environment where intelligence has to be collected, and it, hopefully it has to be sound and reliable, and not used for political purposes. And that is my hope as an American. I mean, I do not in any way like to see that being misused.
Well, I recall the Iraq War. Talk about intelligence being misused. I mean, so how do you make the judgment about what Bush and Cheney did to the country compared to what this guy, Snowden's doing?
Well, I mean, you know, I appeared on MSNBC, and Bush had just made the statement, which was an outright lie, that Congress had viewed all the intelligence that went into the decision that he and Cheney made. I mean, that's just ludicrous. The Congress is not an originator of intelligence. It's just the consumer. It just reads the bare outlines, the bare summary reports, period. So, I mean, there was no intelligence, and anybody in the intelligence community knew that. By 1991, the Iraqis had gotten rid of their WMD. I talked to senior Air Force generals who told me about the fact that the Iraqis had buried their last nuclear artillery missiles out in the desert, and they were kept under the protection of tribes, and they all disintegrated. So.
Well, look, yeah. I'm afraid we're run out of time here today, Richard Sauer, but I thank you very much for joining us.
Yeah, well, you've been very polite. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. You too. Again, I've been speaking with Richard Sale, who's been reporting on intelligence since the late 1970s. He was a finalist for the Pulitzer Prize and is the author of Clinton's Secret Wars. He regularly posts for the blog Sic Semper Tyrannis about national security and foreign policy, and he has an article at truthout.org, Afghanistan, A Dark and Fragile Future. We're going to take a brief station break and we'll be back talking about freedom of the press in Ecuador, assuming that that is the final destination for Edward Snowden.
I'm gonna meet you, meet you, meet you one day. Maybe next week I'm gonna meet you.